I think it's very interesting to open the show about Louise's relationship with psychoanalysis. This came about by a kind of combination of circumstance. I was already thinking along the lines of having a show about psychoanalysis, which is an important theme in Louise's work, but has never been explicitly explored by a monographic show. Also benefited by the surprise discovery by Jerry Gorboy, Louise's longtime assistant, of a cache of writings that Louise kept during her very long period in psychoanalysis. And the importance of these writings for the understanding of Louise's work really can't be overstated. They, in my opinion, I would argue that they will recalibrate our understanding of the entire trajectory of her career. The show is conceived of as being several constellations of work. It's not, strictly speaking, chronological. The installation rather follows thematic points of interest that intersect with psychoanalysis. This piece, Spider, is one of Louise's series of cells. These were works that Louise made in the 1990s, and they incorporate elements as well as cast pieces like the spider that hangs over the cage, but also elements from Louise's own life, the fabric pieces. Louise was born into a family of tapestry restorers in Paris, and these items, these fragments of tapestries, come from her own. These are things that she kept with her throughout her life. She also has, for example, there are several hanging elements within the cage, one of which is a Chalamar perfume. This was a perfume that Louise liked very much. And it relates to the idea behind the cells, which is that memory is not only structured in a kind of architectural fashion, but is also directly dependent on the five senses. The importance of this piece is that it opens the show with this perspective, that by condensing memory, architecture, and the five senses, it relates directly to the procedures of psychoanalysis and the psychoanalytic process, which is to, one way or another, trigger associations, capture memories, and to begin to investigate the past in order to understand the self. And it brings together binary opposites in a way that will be very familiar to you when once you've seen more of Louise's work. You have the kind of gridded format of the cage juxtaposed with the more expressionistic, organic form of the spider. And the one thing I would like to say about the spider is that Louise conceived of the spider as an homage to her mother, because her mother in the tapestry studio in Paris when she was a child was the one who would bring things together. She was the master restorer. And so Louise thought of the spider as an appropriate metaphor. This second room is salon format. There are many different elements in here, different periods of her work. And so the decision was to make it in a kind of salon format, beginning with this Kunstkammer here on the entry wall. One of the things that makes Louise such an important artist, I think, is that her work is so heterogeneous. It's very difficult to categorize Louise's work because she worked in such a variety of media, and yet the underlying thematic concerns remain the same. These works are from the earliest period of Bourgeois' career. They're called personages, and they are symbolic substitutes for people that Louise missed when she moved to the United States in 1938. These works were made in the period directly before Louise went into psychoanalysis in 1951. And part of the mystery, which the discovery of the writings has helped to resolve partly, is how Louise made the transition from this body of work to the works that are contained in this vitrine. Because there's a shift in material from wood and carving into softer materials like latex and plaster that Louise was casting and pouring. These works are, in some ways, resemble animal layers. They express a desire to retreat, withdraw. They also communicate a sense of introspection. And I see this as directly related to Louise's time in late 1950s when she was not making very much work and when she was intensely involved in four sessions a week of psychoanalysis. And I think the movement from hard to soft materials, it mirrors the psychoanalytic process of breaking down resistance to exploring the past and to being able to recover aspects of the past that explain present behavior. I also see that there is a shift from the more figural dimension of the earlier personages to objects that appear almost as part object. And so the mystery of how she arrived at the abstraction is quite amply documented in the writings, which have been translated here and published for the first time. What's interesting about Louise as an artist is that she was never really part of any movement, and yet her work was always curiously relevant to contemporary trends in art. So, for example, the organic references and the abstraction, and I think the reintroduction of narrative elements into her work made her a natural contemporary of younger artists like Bruce Nauman, Neva Hesse. So Louise, in a lot of ways, was always slightly ahead of the curve, making work that would inspire younger generations of artists and exhibiting an openness to new procedures, new methods of making work. And these very personal forms, these objects, were made at a time when minimalism was in the ascendant in the art world. Louise was in a truly psychoanalytic sense, was a great maker of condensed symbols. This work, for example, Le Regard. Le Regard in French means, of course, to look.
Here you have a kind of doubling of what could be a vagina or a sexual orifice. Another example of this tendency in Louise's work is this work, Fillette, this hanging piece. Fillette in French, of course, means little girl. And, of course, at first glance, this appears to be a phallus. But it's interesting to note that Louise poured it in such a way that this resembles the jacket of a young schoolgirl. Louise's work embodies this kind of dialectic between polar opposites. So it can be, things are constantly shuttling back and forth between male and female, and what is inside, what is outside, what is physical and emotional, and organic and geometric. These works, made towards the end of the 60s and early 70s, show Louise moving towards a more figurative representation of sexually explicit life. It shows the rabbit. It's an important work. It's hanging upside down. It appears a little bit as if it were a vivisection, as if it had been dissected. I think in a sense it's a sort of self-portrait Louise made. It's how Louise felt after her time in psychoanalysis. This is what her work meant for her. Another self-portrait is the Janice Fleury, which happened to be Louise's favorite sculpture, which is hanging right here. Janice Fleury means flowering Janice, and I think this is one of the core pieces in the show, because it speaks to the title, the turn of the repressed. It's just material that one way or another is always present within us. There's an ambivalence in the references that could be taken as two hanging phalluses. But symmetricality refers it to the human body, meaning that these could also be breasts or knees. There are many hanging pieces in this room. I think Louise had an interest in the strategy of hanging work as a way of expressing this kind of ambivalence or contradiction. Because on the one hand, it's hanging, meaning that it's fragile, it's not totally secure. The fact that it can turn means that it's susceptible of adjustment and reconfiguration. And the ambivalence of its references, it's properly overdetermined in a psychoanalytic sense. And I think this is why Louise felt it was something like a self-portrait, because it brings together, it's as if it's a fusion of internal opposites, of the father, of the mother, of her husband, of herself. And these roles are always changing. Her internal objects are rotating in and out. And like repressed material, for all that it's fragile, it's also very stable. It communicates a sense of permanence, which, like material submerged in the unconscious, is fundamentally timeless. This is a cast of the body of Louise's longtime assistant, Jerry Goeborn. Louise said that this was a reference to Charcot and his work with female hysterics at the end of the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And as a commentary on Charcot, she took the body of a young man and twisted it into a torsade. And at once, as usual, there's a reference to the abstract geometrical form of the circle made out of the cast form of the organic human body. Jean Clair, the French critic, said that this was the most perfect surrealist sculpture. This is from 1993, it's slightly later. It's again in keeping with the thematic hanging of the work. These fabric pieces, which we can look at later, are organized in a constellation of different forms. These are works that were made of the fabrics from Louise's life, towels, sheets, other fabric materials. This is the second of the two cells that are in the show. It's called Red Room Parents. The theme of this room is really the relationship to the parents and the paternal and maternal imago. Think of this work as somehow reinterpreting or making a dramatic representation of the idea of the primal scene. Louise said the artist is a child who never grows up. And I think a lot of the works have this child's view, especially as she gets older. The other work towards the back of the room is Destruction of the Father, which is probably the most important work that Louise ever made. The genesis of this piece is a story Louise told about, really a fantasy, which she staged in this theatrical tableau. The idea was that Louise, the father comes home, he's sitting at the dinner table, he's dominant, he's telling the mother what to do, bossing the children around. And the children and mother rebel against him, kill him, and eat him. This is a piece that brings together many of the developments in Louise's work in the 1960s. And its sexual explicitness, its soft material, and the symbolic doubling of form, so that the dinner table is also experienced as the parental bed. And it's been paired with this work, Sleep. This work from 1967 is one of Louise's first marble sculptures. It occurs at the moment when Louise is returning again to the figure and to sexually explicit subject matter. And so these three works brought together make a kind of meditation on the role of parents in shaping the identity of the child. This room is installed the way it is because of this text piece, which metaphorically links together three things: empty stomach, empty house, empty bottle. Louise was always interested in the idea of the container, something that contains something else, or being out inside of the container. This can mean being part of a family, being in the womb, and of the fragility of these relationships, which relates to this piece, which is called Le Défi, the challenge. These glass works are all found objects, most of them from Louise's life, This piece is extremely precarious with these two wheels. There's a risk of it falling over and of everything breaking. It makes it almost, relates it a little bit to the Hanging Works with a similar sense of fragility. And so the challenge of which the title speaks is really a challenge to resist aggression, to resist the hostility that could upset everything and break everything. Louise was obsessed with the difficulty of coupling. She had a powerful fear of abandonment. Ever since her mother died when she was 1932, she moved to New York to be with her husband in 1938. In 1951, her father died. So Louise had always experienced these deaths, the departures, later, the death of her husband in 1973, as an abandonment. The person Louise experienced emotions at a terrifying level of intensity. So for example, the work towards the end of the two black fabric couples, again, speaks to this condition of being, the desired condition of being together with somebody, but also all of the impositions and difficulties that that condition brings. The leg brace has an interesting anecdotal background. Louise had an elder sister, and in her later life she developed a brace. Many of the representations of women in Louise's work are of figures who are one way or another wounded or crippled or incomplete. So you could say that the works in this room are also organized around the idea of a lack. This last text piece, for example, says, "Home for Runaway Girls." Louise considered herself a runaway. Louise always thought the artist has an incurable condition. There's no cure for the artist. And I would say the psychoanalysis enabled Louise to become the artist that she became. Louise had a deep depression after the death of her father. Mm-hmm. In the 1940s, she was incapable of keeping her different roles together. She couldn't be a mother and a wife to a successful art historian. She was trying to be an artist in her own right. She's a French woman living in America. Mm-hmm. All of these roles proved to be too much for her. A famous story that Louise told of her own trauma was the story of Sadie, the mistress of her father. And this is the story Louise told in 1982 on the occasion of her retrospective at MoMA. And for a long time, this became the standard hermeneutic tool for interpreting Louise's work. So that the father was bad, the Sadie was bad, the mother, to some extent, was complicit. It was a story of bourgeois hypocrisy that was not unsimilar to the case of Dora by Freud. What the writings which we've discovered reveal is that the situation was actually much more complex. Since the question was, what was she suffering from? This is part of the situation that she was suffering from was the structure of her family. This final room is chromatically much lighter and brighter than the previous room. Louise loved the color red. It was her favorite color. It was the color of passion, of violence, of intensity. Towards the end of her life, she made a series of these red gouaches. She was working wet on wet, meaning that the work was not totally finished when she continued to draw. And the iconography really sets the tone for the entire room. As she became more frail and dependent, it put her in mind of her relationship to her mother and the dependence on the mother that the child has. So all of the objects in this room, one way or another, are bringing together male and female characteristics. So, for example, this Archette Ferris Glance appears to be a statue of a dog. Louise described this also as possibly a self-portrait. Like the spider which is being installed outside, doesn't totally relate to any spider or any dog that you've ever seen. Louise would often have naturalistic objects that are, in fact, quite distorted. And that's why, for example, on the facing wall, we have the distortion mirror of one of her final pieces called The Reticent Child. This piece turns on the idea and the situation of the mother who has a child who doesn't want to be born, what that means for her psychologically. The concavity of the mirror and the different knots in it that create distorted images reflects Louise's belief that memory and perception shape our understanding or the true account of our events. That the return of the repressed always comes back in new and ever unexpected form. So that the frontal view of one of these sculptures, for example, is very different from the distorted image that one gets back from the concave mirror. And the mirror, by bringing us into the work, implies that this is the condition of us all. That the mirror brings the spectator into the piece, which means that Louise was, I think, postulating that this tableau is the situation of all of us.